السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم أيها المستمعين والمستمعات. Beloved listeners of Radio Islam International, welcome back to حياة طيبة with myself, معلمة شاكرة هانتر. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. What a beautiful, beautiful Friday afternoon. And subhanAllah, you know, we have people listening from all over the world. You know, special salams to people who are in Australia, people who are in the UK, subhanAllah, in South Africa, in different parts of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us all one day, inshallah. May Allah accept all your ibadah on this beautiful Friday. Alhamdulillah. I received such a beautiful message from a listener saying that she loves to listen to the program and she's all the way out in Australia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you and bless you, inshallah, and your family. And alhamdulillah, you know, it's so amazing when you think of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites us all under this banner of the word Islam. Beloved sisters and beloved listeners of Radio Islam International, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we have completed our month of fasting and our month of eating, and subhanAllah, eating well, eating properly, eating less, subhanAllah. And now as we get back into our routines, our focus is, what can I eat and how can I eat it and how, where can I go out to, subhanAllah. Here on Hayat al-Tayyibah, our focus is always to learn new tools to rectify the mistakes or the cultural norms that we've been accepted as part of our lives for so many years. And subhanAllah, one of the greatest things that I feel that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does is that he advises us on things that we think are very minute or things that are very small, we take for granted and we don't actually think about. So we are looking at, as on a broad, you know, scale, we want to look at this understanding or this deep understanding of the relationship that we have with food. And subhanAllah, it's so intertwined with our cultural norms, so intertwined with our, you know, what learned practices from the time we are small, that sometimes we don't realize that we break the sunnah. Sometimes, subhanAllah, we eat in such a way that doesn't allow us to live optimum lives. And as I'm speaking about this and starting off this topic today, we have just come off, subhanAllah, you know, most of us have come off the Jumu'ah table. And on the day of Jumu'ah, it's such a pleasure. We love that feeling of having a beautiful pot of akni or biryani or some dal and rice, depending on where you are from. And subhanAllah, what happens is, you know, after Jumu'ah, we eat, we get sluggish and we enjoy it so much. And it's so lovely. It's so lovely to be with family, to have the day, to have all the, you know, the little sides with it. And we were just talking about how some of us love kari khichdi, some of us maybe not have those kind of cultural norms, some people may be at work. But subhanAllah, whichever way or whichever path that we stand at, we have to understand that our relationship with food can impact the way that we, subhanAllah, are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He's given us, and at the same time, the way we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So later on, inshallah, I'm going to be speaking to a registered dietitian, who is Sister Amina Dindar, inshallah, and she's going to give us much more in-depth detail on this. For now, inshallah, I want to look at our eating patterns from the sunnah itself and from the life of our beloved Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's always that balance, right? That when you look at things and you always look at it from the sunnah and you look at it from the Quran and the Hadith, you get such a beautiful understanding, and then you tie it up. You tie it up with what the doctors are telling us, what the dietitians are telling us, and subhanAllah, you can live a life that is so balanced. Now, I'm not saying take all your oil and ghee and throw it out of the, you know, out of the kitchen, but what I am saying is that the impact of food in our life is something that we have to first understand, that it takes up so much of our time. So recently I was speaking to a guest and we had touched on this a little bit. And subhanAllah, because of the interest of many people, we decided to delve into this into detail. Now, when you look at Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he granted us such a beautiful guidance when it came to eating itself, right? And, you know, Aisha radiallahu anha tells us, she says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب الحلوى والعسل. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love sweet things and he used to love honey. And I love to use this hadith and, you know, tell my husband, this is why we need to buy me some sweets. So I'm a reformed addict to sweets, subhanAllah, and I know there's many of you out there as well, like me. I love, 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 love sweet and chocolate. And I'm cutting it out of my, I have cut it out now for a couple of years. But subhanAllah, it just put me near sweets and I cannot stop myself. I love going to shops and just buying sweets for Africa. Because it's just, I don't know what's the reasoning behind it. And it's taken me almost 5 years to slowly, slowly cut it out. And just yesterday I was saying to my husband, subhanAllah, I don't like to buy things that are special because I don't have control when it comes to sweets and chocolate. I could have, you know, every kind of luxury in my house and I wouldn't even look at it. But if it's a sweet, I would, you know, finish it in seconds. And subhanAllah, you know, when we look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, he loved, there was certain food that he preferred. There was certain food that he loved. And this is the first thing that we learn. We learn that if you have food that you have preference to and that you love, you can eat it, right? Obviously in moderation, and you can have preferences. But at the same time, you shouldn't be having this natural instinct that we have to break down what we don't like. And this is an immense, immense form of ingratitude. Because what happens to us is, you know, if you don't like something, we tend to go, oh, I really don't like that. And we will speak and speak and speak about how we dislike it. I know, as you know, for myself, sometimes I think I'm an overgrown child. But subhanAllah, tomatoes is something that I cannot handle. You know, I when I try to eat it, if it's raw tomatoes. And so, but yet if it's cooked, it's absolutely fine. And there's many people like that in the world. So your taste buds are something that Allah gives you, and every person has food that is, you know, that is something that may be tasty to one person, but to another person may taste absolutely, you know, difficult to stomach. And what I have noticed as well, subhanAllah, and I've read up, you know, many articles on this, is that sometimes many people in the world have similar things that they don't like. You'll find a lot of people won't like raw tomatoes. You'll find a lot of people won't like raw onions. So, subhanAllah, there are certain taste buds that have preferences for certain things. But the guide from the sunnah is, even if you like something, right? Even if you like it and you prefer it, your whole focus should be, let me eat what I like, but don't break what I don't like, right? And this goes down to whether you're eating at restaurants, whether you're eating food at, you know, in people's homes, whether you're eating food in your own home. What you have to understand is, how can I not let a single word of ingratitude pass through my lips? That's the first thing, right? Then, subhanAllah, if you look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like the different things that he liked. So one day, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu tells us so beautifully, he says that one day the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody brought meat to him, right? He brought a specific type of meat. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted this meat and he, you know, he lifted the meat to him and he was so amazed when he saw this piece of meat, the way it was. And he was, you know, he couldn't believe that the form of the meat, the taste. So yes, it is something that we look in the sunnah that sometimes you'll have this food that you prefer. In the same way, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to love eating sarid. And sarid is the al-khubz al-muqatta, is the cut up bread. You know, when the bread is cut up and then you cut it up and you put it into this gravy, right? And subhanAllah, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to eat it with a little bit of meat as well. So he would love to have that. And we see sometimes Nabi Sallallahu would take a fruit and he would take dates and he would eat them together. So what we understand is that there was this understanding on the time of the Prophet Nabi Sallallahu that Allah has given us food as a ni'mah. And yes, to prefer certain foods is a ni'mah. There are some of us who love savory kind of food, anything that is savory. Other people love cakes and love, you know, sweet things. Some people love healthy things. Some people love, and subhanAllah, you know, for personally in our lives, we love fruit and vegetables. And I often find people getting very shocked when they would see us. You know, it's taken us maybe 5 years to develop this whole, and we always love fruit, but to replace the sweets and the chocolates with this fruit in our lives, it was a very long journey. It was a difficult journey, but alhamdulillah, it was such a beautiful journey. And now, you know, it's in my entire family, as soon as you see that platter of fruit, that's what you want to eat and that's what you feel for. Whereas subhanAllah, prior to this, it would have been the complete opposite. Now what I have noticed is, that food becomes sort of a solution to what we are going through in our lives. When you are in the midst of your depression, and Recently, I was speaking to a friend, and subhanAllah, I was saying to her, she says to me, you know, what are you doing? What have you done? Why have you changed? And I remember, you know, we were sitting together and she brought me these platters and platters of savories. And I said to her, you know, Alhamdulillah, we don't eat them. And she looked at me in shock, you know, she was so shocked. And she watched as my son and myself just ate fruit, and, you know, we were eating the fruit with such, you know, joy and so divine, subhanAllah. And simply, you know, the understanding that I was eating because I was keeping that food as a crutch. And most of us do that. When we are going through emotion, when we are going through problems in our life, we eat and we eat and we stuff ourselves. So to first of all, not to deal with what we are going through. And second of all, because it becomes a comfort. That's what it does. It becomes a comfort. And inshallah, we're going to be speaking to Sister Amina later on, and she can touch more on this. But when food becomes your comfort, then you don't take that time to express what you are feeling. You don't take that time to read Quran so that you can cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that you're supposed to be doing with your mouth now is replaced with the chewing and the eating, subhanAllah, right? So there is this understanding that yes, you can love food. You can be a foodie. You can be a person who says, I love to eat, you know, and you love to make beautiful platters. You love to entertain. You can do all of that. But you have to do it with the under the banner of Islam. And the banner of Islam is that we cannot be make in any way nashukri. Now, this then moves on, you know, when you look at it from the point of view where you are replacing food with discomfort. Then, subhanAllah, the third thing that happens is that your food becomes such a preoccupation that it takes you away from the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there's a famous hadith when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaks about people, and he says, himamuhum butunuhum, that their stomachs is everything, is, you know, the most important thing for them is their stomachs. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, he really, really disliked the fact. And when you look at his life, you know, Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah, Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to tell us, and she used to say that, you know, we used to look at the crescent, the new moon, you know, the little crescent, and she used to say one crescent would come, and the next crescent would come, and the third crescent would come, you know, subhanAllah, so 2 months would pass. وَمَا أُوْقِدَتْ فِي أَبْيَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَارِ. They wouldn't even light the fires, light the stoves, because subhanAllah, to such an extent, there was nothing for them to cook in their home. And you know, her nephew says to her, he says, oh, khala, ma kana yu'ishukum, how did you live? If you didn't eat, how would you live? Because you would die. And she said, subhanAllah, at that time, we just had aswadan. We had the two black things, which is regarded as water and date, subhanAllah. So she said, except sometimes, you know, the neighbors would send them stuff. But generally, in their own houses, they didn't have the things that they could use to make sure that they had the food. So you look at this intense balance in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, number one. And number two, how food was not the most important thing in the life, subhanAllah, right? MashaAllah, the birds are making a dhikr behind me, alhamdulillah. And subhanAllah, you know, when we look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's a few things that he did that when you eat and you take the time to make the hamd of Allah, to make the dhikr of Allah, you take that time to just understand that whichever way that I, whatever I am eating, I have to be so grateful to Allah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make this one dua when he finished eating. He would say, Alhamdulillahi hamdan kathira, tayyiban mubaraka, ghayra makfiyin, wala muwadda'in, wala mustaghnan anhu rabbana, subhanAllah. You know, and he would love to, even if he ate the most simplest of things. And one of the most beautiful things is that when he would eat honey, and I find this so amazing, when he would eat honey, when he would eat vinegar. Now we know vinegar is something bitter, and when he would eat it, he would say, "Ni'mal udum al khal." Allahu Akbar. You know, when you think of that, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, "What an excellent gravy is vinegar!" And he would use the vinegar to soak up his bread, and he would praise the vinegar. And subhanAllah, there's two elements of this. One is that he's showing shukr for everything that he has, and secondly, he's not finding fault in what he has. Subhanallah, right? So, beloved listeners, when you think now and you look at him, at the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, there is, in our minds, there's a sort of need for us to have our breakfast, our lunch, our supper. We have to have a massive breakfast. And yes, we can, Allah has given us, we can eat. But everything has to be done in moderation, right? And and when we speak about moderation, what are we saying? Is that if you had, you know, a heavy breakfast or a heavy lunch, have a light supper. Or if you had a light lunch, have a heavy supper, subhanAllah, but it's better to have a light supper, subhanAllah, right? I remember there was an Arab uncle who gave my husband and I advice many years ago. You know, he said, إِذَا تَتَعَشَّى, you know, when you have, إِذَا تَتَغَدَّى تَتَمَدَّى وَإِذَا تَتَعَشَّى, one of the two, right? I'm confusing it, but he says, subhanAllah, that when you have lunch, then you should make sure that you eat lunch like a king. But when you eat supper, then you should make sure that you're walking and you're eating it very, very little bit, because you want to sleep after this and you don't want this to make you sluggish and allow you to not wake up for Salatul Fajr or for Qiyamul Layl, subhanAllah, right? Now, this is one element that we have to bring into our lives. That when we are eating food, subhanAllah, right? And when we are eating food at a restaurant, and I think this is something that's so difficult, you know, when you look at the opulence that we live and the manner in which our lives are, that there's so much of availability and choice, we tend to be able to compare. You know, I ate at this restaurant, it wasn't nice. I ordered from this lady, it wasn't so nice, you know. Or we'll say, oh, don't ever eat at that restaurant, it's so terrible. Now, you are giving a review because it's something that you actually went through. It's not that you are making it up. It's not that you're slandering. But subhanAllah, that relationship with food, what we are doing is, and we don't even realize it, it's an element of nashukri, an element of ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if you go to a restaurant and you don't like it, instead of breaking it down, and instead of, you know, a lot of people say, I must give my honest review. The better answer would be to say, you know, I wouldn't recommend it. And finish, that's it. Not why, not when, not what. And this also then develops a different understanding of shukr to your food. And also, subhanAllah, not belittling the risks that Allah gave you. Whether you ate at a certain restaurant, we won't mention any names, and you disliked it or not, is still a ni'mah that Allah has given you. It is still risk that Allah has given you, whether you paid for it or not, whether you ordered it or not. And subhanAllah, you know, sometimes you eat and you'll say, oh, you know, the meat wasn't well done, or this wasn't so nice, or that. And you don't realize that those little statements are actual statements that can break down your iman in completion. Beloved listeners, we are going to take a short break. And when we get back, we'll be joined on the line by Sister Amina Dindar, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, beloved listeners. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. You are with myself, Mu'allima Shakira Hanta, on Hayatun Tayyiba. And alhamdulillah, we have been looking at a very beautiful topic, inshallah. And I hope it is a means of benefit to all of you listening out there. We are looking at evaluating the relationship that we have with food and why this is needed in our society and in our culture. Alhamdulillah, for the first part of our show, we were looking at it from the Sunnah point of view. And now, alhamdulillah, we are joined online by Sister Amina Dindar, who is a registered dietitian. Alhamdulillah, she's worked as a clinical dietitian at a government hospital in Gauteng for 6 years. And now she's working as a private practicing dietitian in Indonesia and in Garden City. Alhamdulillah, she has a special interest in eating disorders, diabetes, and sports nutrition, as well as pediatric nutrition, particularly in malnutrition, pediatric diabetes, and pediatric obesity. Sister Amina, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikin. Welcome to Radio Islam International. Jazakallah khair for joining us today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we'll get our Sister Amina back online soon, inshallah. While we wait for her, let's go delve into our topic, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So, alhamdulillah, I think we just had a bit of a problem online with Sister Amina. Let us go look at what we have been speaking about, and we've been looking at this relationship with food. Now, when we think about, you know, the amount of availability in South Africa, we have, subhanAllah, two or three different focuses, right? One is, alhamdulillah, everything and anything that we could possibly need or want is available in South Africa. And subhanAllah, you know, when you think, oh, this is in the South African context, but in any country, if you're looking at, you know, international countries, wherever we may be, some countries, like, you know, in South America may not be that advanced, but generally in the rest of the world, we have, you know, access to so many different options. And I think it is the options that we have that's sometimes cripples us, you know, and sometimes it doesn't allow us to focus on the way that we can develop a good relationship with the food that we have and the access that we have to it. So let's look at, first of all, what options have done. Firstly, options have made us so incredibly comfortable that when we need something, we don't think of how was that thing prepared. So let's just look at it like this, right? You are busy, you had a long day, and you don't have time, so you quickly just stop at a bakery, you stop at a one-stop shop, so many available, you pack up your rotis are sorted out, you don't even have to stress about whether you have to make that, or whether you just have to put in your basket, swipe your card, and out you go, subhanAllah. You've got your rotis, you've got your samosas ready made, you've got every possible thing that you need ready made and ready to go. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us and gives us this guide of only one thing, and that is, what is it? Is that we have to eat halal, and we have to eat tayyib, right? Now, when we focus on halal, and that is, alhamdulillah, the most beautiful thing of South Africa, and alhamdulillah, most of the Muslim world, that halal is something that we are very, very, very particular about. None of us will just eat anything. We won't just touch anything. We will make sure that it has, it's been proven that that thing is halal. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say halal and tayyiba separately. He put it together. And tayyib is wholesome food. Now, obviously, we are on the show hayatan tayyiba, wholesome life. And this just goes to show you how important to live a life that is tayyib, that is pure, how imperative what we eat and what we choose to put in our body, subhanAllah, that allows us to be able to function at a good rate, subhanAllah, and it allows us to be able to think, allows us to grow, allows us to talk, subhanAllah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way where we are not sluggish. So, first and foremost, we have options, right? We have options, we have choice. But in those options, what we have to start asking ourselves is that, firstly, we will not purchase it if it's haram. In the second way, will I eat it if it is not tayyib, right? So one important thing for us to do is to check if food is wholesome and nutritional, has nutritional value for our bodies. And how do you do this, right? Now, subhanAllah, if you start off by making small changes, I know most people, and the reason I say small changes and little changes is because I've seen that in my own life. When you try to cut something out completely, I was a person who loved junk food. I loved junk food for years. I was known for the fact that I would always have the best kind of sweets and chocolates and everything in my bags, subhanAllah. And yet, fast forward 5 years later, and alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, it's a completely different story. But it didn't happen overnight. It's not something that happened overnight. People will ask you, what's the secret? What's the magic to it? How can I say no to it? There's so many options. And yes, when I first came back to South Africa, you get so caught up. There's so many options. Things are there. But then after a while, you start to develop the things that you like. You develop the things that you find important. And you start replacing the things that you know are not tayyib with the things that you know are tayyib, subhanAllah, right? So let's say, for example, you make a small little choice like, okay, once a week or twice a week, let's remove bread, or let's remove roti from our diet, inshallah. Okay, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Sister Amina is back with us, alhamdulillah. I did introduce Sister Amina earlier, but alhamdulillah, we just want to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back, Sister Amina.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah so much for having me on your show, Mu'allima.
It's a pleasure, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I hope we, inshallah, benefit from each other, and jazakallah for taking the time. This is a very important topic for us to be discussing. And subhanAllah, Sister Amina, I just wanted to ask you before we move in and we discuss about the relationship with food. I've noticed, alhamdulillah, in your bio some beautiful topics and things that you're passionate about. You have special interest in eating disorders, and I'm quite surprised, when you look at pediatric diabetes, is that really a thing?
It really is, and it's so sad, but we've as the years go on, we see so much more, so many more kids being diagnosed with diabetes. And before, it was always type 1 diabetes, which is more genetic, so we see that a lot in young kids. But nowadays, we're seeing so many young kids being diagnosed as type 2 diabetes, and that previously was known to be diagnosed later on in life. But with all the lifestyle changes that's been happening, It's really so sad to see so many of the kids, you know, with these conditions.
SubhanAllah, you know, this, especially when you speak about pediatric obesity, you know, in our family, we unfortunately, SubhanAllah, we have the gene. And Alhamdulillah, you know, over the last couple of years, we've been all been, we actually had no idea that it was even something genetic. You know, you, when you're growing up, you don't even realize that there's a difference between obesity and being overweight. You don't realize that, you know, the relationship you have with food impacts all of these things. So the first thing I want to know is, why is it a must? It's absolutely obligatory on each one of us to actually examine the relationship that we have with food. Is Amina, you with us, inshallah? Is Amina, can you hear me, inshallah?
She asked my phone. I can hear you.
Okay, no problem, inshallah. Go ahead.
Maaf, I didn't hear the question.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. So I was asking, so why is it so important and why is it obligatory for us to evaluate our individual relationship with food?
You know, it's such a lovely topic that you've chosen, and I wish it was something that we could talk about more often, actually on a daily basis. And it's something that I'm so passionate about, healing our relationship with food. I find that most people, as we grow up, we don't realize that we have this bad, unhealthy relationship with food. We're always labeling food. We're always blaming food for everything that might go wrong in some cases of our life. And our view of food is so different. It's so distorted, and it's not what it should be. If we look at the blessings of food and why we were given food from Allah Ta'ala, it's a means of nourishment for our body. And if you look at the role of food in our life, if you look at, analyze each type of food that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with in this earth, on this earth, it has such a big, you know, it has so much of value in our bodies. If you take something simple like a red pepper and if you analyze it, you know, it's so beautiful as to what it can actually do for your body. And when we eat food, we never eat it with any of these intentions. We eat because it's breakfast time. We eat because it's lunchtime. We eat because everyone else is eating. We eat because we are bored. We eat because we don't want to waste what is left in the fridge and things like that. So our reasons for eating are always wrong. And I think it's so important to be able to understand what the role of food is, to understand every type of food that is available to us and actually analyze the benefits and the blessings that it has in your body in terms of your health, your spirituality and those type of things. And it's one of the ways to heal our relationship with food. You know, it's something that's so important. And if you look at a lot of the eating disorders that we do see in these days, it's most of the time related to having an unhealthy relationship with food.
Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah, this is so true. You know, earlier I was just speaking about how when we go through loss and go through depression, this it becomes our first answer and our first, you know, and we come from, you know, this sort of accepted norm, especially when we're younger, where we're told have to finish your plate, you know, you have to make sure you eat everything on your plate, and you have to, when you're eating your food, you have to eat what everybody's eating without thinking that, you know, is my own stomach getting full or not, SubhanAllah. So it then allows us, pushes us to eat more than we can, and then we start picking up weight, and SubhanAllah, we develop this unhealthy relationship. So, Sister Amina, what are some of these unhealthy thoughts that people could have regarding food?
So I think a lot of the time when you realize that, or sometimes I think we don't realize that we have this bad relationship with food, but we tend to blame food for a lot of things. So sometimes you'd eat like a big meal, or you'd overindulge, and you'd feel like shame and guilt at yourself. You'd feel like, why did I eat that? You know, I shouldn't have eaten it. You hear people make comments like, you know, it wasn't worth all those calories. There's certain types of foods that people won't eat at all. So you imagine those foods to be off limits. For example, they say, you know, I'll never put a fried samosa in my mouth, or I'll never put fried chips in my mouth. So you tend to have these thoughts of certain foods being off limit. So other things are also that you eat when you are stressed out, when you are anxious, when you are emotional. So a lot of the time you tend to attach your emotions to food. So you try to overeat in certain cases when you're feeling anxious, when you are stressed out at work, things like that. So other things are cut out certain food groups from your diet. So, for example, you say, I'm not eating any more carbs. Carbs are bad for me. They're making me gain weight. So you cut out carbs. Other indicators of unhealthy relationships is skipping to different diets. So, for example, trying out one diet and then you say, oh, no, it doesn't work for me. And then trying something completely different. When you view your day, the quality or the success of your day depending on what you ate and what you didn't eat. So you don't look at what you've achieved in the day, but you look at more, did I eat good or did I eat bad? And also you tend to reflect a lot on the food. So your daily food choices are considered as a reflection of who you are. So you sort of view yourself according to what you ate. So those are some of the indicators that we use to determine your relationship with food.
Mm-hmm. And this is, Amina, you know, I love what you said there. Is that, you know, when we get to that point, especially when we sort of like, you know, we label it as something completely wrong. So that obviously leads to guilt, right? Makes you feel like I'm eating it, but I'm actually not supposed to be doing this. And that's what happens, is then you are not honest with yourself. You know, you go into these binges, or you eat when you're feeling down, you're going to eat things that you know are wrong for you, or you feel guilty about. And it just perpetuates a cycle. So I want you to ask now is, you know, like I see it with myself, is that because we have, you know, subhanAllah, changed a massive way of the way that the manner in which we eat. And I was really thinking that when I come back to South Africa, I'm going to just start eating unhealthy. And it did happen for a little while. But afterwards, I found that I was so, so mentally sluggish. I could not function at the rate that I know I normally function at, because everything was processed, right? And in Ramadan, I was speaking about this and I was just joking about it, is that we like, you know, we don't ever eat processed or cut chips, you know, the pre-cut chips. We always buy potatoes and cut them. And when we came to South Africa, everybody had pre-cut chips and ready-cut and ready-made chips, so you just had to fry them. And we could not handle the taste of that. And subhanAllah, what we did was we, you know, started cutting the chips for everyone and said, okay, we'll fry it, we'll do it, we'll make, whether it's in whatever format, we'll do it. And everybody was so shocked at how tasty it was. But this little choice of, you know, taking something that's natural and tayyib, it does affect our mood. So do you feel that the different types of food we have affects our health and our moods?
Yes, definitely. I think this is something that we don't realize, you know. We don't realize, like I was saying, that the impact food has on our lives. So similarly, the way that a good, healthy, wholesome diet would have positive impacts on your lifestyle and on your health, on your mental well-being and those type of things, unhealthy foods cause inflammation, cause oxidative stress inside our body. And that naturally has an effect on us. So it has an effect on our moods and our emotions. It has an effect on our hormones. It has an effect on our mental abilities throughout the day. And we don't realize the direct link there is between your gut and your brain. So, and you know, it works hand in hand. So when you're eating good, wholesome food, the effects of it on your gut, obviously it has good effects on your gut, has a direct impact on your brain. So naturally, when people start eating healthier, they also feel better, not only in terms mm-hmm. of the energy levels, but also in terms of the way they view themselves, their positive outlook on life. And you see it so often, people just change certain aspects of the eating habits, and their whole mindset has changed. And then also on the opposite end of it is true. So when you're eating a lot of processed foods, foods high in sugar, high in fat, high in salt, it has such a negative impact on your gut, and that directly impacts your brain. And your brain functioning, your mood, your anxiety levels, your depression, your mental capacity. And naturally, when you start eating those type of foods, it has all this impact, and you feel very down, you feel depressed, you have anxiety, you have stress, more stress at work, you don't know how to handle your stress. Mm-hmm. So there's such a direct impact, on food and how it can affect so many different things in our bodies.
Subhanallah, so true. Sister Amina, jazakallah khair for sharing that. I think that's so important that we realize this. That sometimes, you might be feeling down, and just, taking the time to drink some water, take the time to clean out your system, it just allows, and a lot of times, when we don't even realize how things like cold drinks and sugars and that literally blocks our, as you said, our gut, our system, and then affects our minds, subhanAllah. So, Sister Amina, as a dietitian yourself, what is your role when it comes to helping people with their relationship with food?
This is such a nice question, because everyone thinks we just help you to lose weight. Alhamdulillah, there's so much more to it. So we definitely look and assess your current relationship with food. So we do this by going through your intake over the past few days or weeks or months, and then we assess your relationship with food. Depending on how you view food, what types of foods you eat, do you cut out certain types of foods and food groups? And then we do lots of coaching. So incorporating foods that are part of that should be part of a healthy diet. We don't ever cut out food groups unless there's a medical necessity for that. And we teach a lot about the importance of food or the benefits of food. So, we go through each food item as part of your diet or meal plans that we give out. And we actually teach you what is the benefit of each food. We also do lots of mindful eating. In today's busy lifestyles, we eat very mindlessly. And like we were talking earlier, as we were growing up as babies, naturally mothers or parents, grandparents, they force-fed babies, not with any intention. Obviously, you'd want mothers' intentions were so poor. They didn't want the babies to go hungry. They wanted to make sure they're getting fed adequately. So, as mothers, we always tricked our kids into eating. Actually, to think about it, you just want to laugh in terms of how you would say, it's an airplane coming, open up your mouth. We did all these things as mothers to try and get our kids to eat. But naturally, it's so amazing, alhamdulillah, that babies are actually born with the ability to control their hunger. So they know when they're hungry and they know when they need to stop eating. And over the years, as growing up as toddlers, as little kids, we always had incentives for eating. So if you finish up your plate of food, you'll get a sweet. You can have some juice after your food is finished. If you finish your food, then you can come with me to visit your cousins. So we always had these rewards for finishing up your food. So even as a kid, you felt so full. You couldn't eat more than what you had eaten, but you were forced to eat it. And that took us away from the mindfulness around eating. And if you think about it, as adults today, we still have the same habits. So while you're eating, you're so full, but there's still food on your plate, or everyone else on the table is still eating, you will continue to eat, until until everyone is done, all your food is finished. And even after you've eaten, after you're so full, after you've had more than you should have, you still continue to eat. You look for a sweet. You look for, like, you know, these little treats that we were promised as kids. So it's all these same behaviors that we've brought up with. So teaching patients on how to create mindfulness, you know, being able to listen to your body. Are you actually hungry? Maybe you're actually thirsty. Maybe there's some anxiety that you're going through that you need to first deal with that before you need to eat. So being able to understand the differences between are you hungry, are you thirsty, and when you should actually eat are quite important as well in building a healthy relationship, in building a healthy lifestyle, and, you know, looking after your body.
SubhanAllah, this is so, so important. And I love the fact that, you know, you explained it in detail, because a lot of times people want to go on a crash diet and they don't realize that that diet is just there for those moments, right? But a dietitian is explaining to you the balance of the food, exactly as you explained it, so much more deeper than just choosing to cut something out or bring something into your life, SubhanAllah. And I really thank Allah, SubhanAllah, that in my life, Allah has put beautiful, beautiful people who... you know, I had actually a nutritionist and she assisted me so beautifully, because we grew up with this kind of understanding that you had to eat bread, you had to eat rice, you had to eat roti, you had to, you know, you had to drink while you were eating. And SubhanAllah, you know, I always think, like, you know, she wasn't a Muslim, yet she guided me, and every single thing she guided me on in evaluating my relationship with food was Sunnah based, SubhanAllah. And when you go back to the Sunnah and you see the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made in such balance and harmony, and when food wasn't the, you know, the focus, it was actually something that was there to complement your life. May Allah reward you, Sister Amina, for doing the role that you do. It's a very important one. And I would love to encourage the sisters out there, you know, maybe not to go, you know, don't focus it as a diet. And I think focus it more on changing our mind frames and our mindset. And that's, so I mean, you know, we have just 1 minute, exactly 1 minute left, right? I just wanted to ask you quickly to wrap it up. Do you think that ladies who go on diets and, you know, constantly go on these yo-yo diets, what advice can you give to them quickly, inshallah?
Okay, so definitely, I think, you know, it's become such a big thing to go on diets and try to lose weight, and everyone has become so obsessed with their body image, you know, what they look like, because that's what people want to see today. They want to see you, they want to see you wearing new clothes, they want to see what you look like all the time. And it's so important, I think, firstly, to heal yourself, to heal your relationship with food, to heal your relationship with yourself, creating a positive body image around women. It's so important. And like Alima, you were mentioning, going back to the Sunnah, you know, we've become so obsessed with creating trending foods and trending recipes and trying new things all the time, but we've forgotten the simplicity of food, you know. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ate so simple. The meals that he chose all the time, if you look at the foods, the Sunnah foods that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ate, there's so much of blessings in them, there's so much of nourishment in them, and if we can just go back to that simplicity, I think we'd be winning so many battles. You know, we've really lost focus. We keep thinking that we need to eat different foods for breakfast, lunch, and supper. We can't eat the same thing that we ate yesterday or for 3 days in a row. But there's nothing like that. If you are nourishing your body, and if you can understand the role of food, why we're eating, if you can look at different foods and understand why we need to eat them or why we need to include them in our diet, it will have such an impact on our lives, and it will change our mindset around food. It will have such a big impact on our lives, inshallah.
Inshallah. Sister Amina, for joining us today. I really appreciate this, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for all the work that you do and guide you a lot of barakah in your work. Please keep us in your du'as, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.